A very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I take the pleasure of welcoming you all to the Quarter 3 FY22 Earnings Conference Call of Finotex Chemical Limited. So today we have the management of Finotex, Mr. Arindam Chaudhary, CEO, Ms. Aarti Jhunjhunwala, Executive Director, CA Ketan Almani, Financial Controller, Mr. Bharat Modi, Strategic Advisor, Investor Relations. I will like Ms. Aarti to take it from here and add her comments on introduce her points to the team.
Yes. Thank you, Sanjay. A very good morning to everyone. Hope you all are keeping well and staying safe. It is my pleasure to welcome you all to the Q3 FY22 Earnings Conference Call of Finotex Chemical Limited. And I hope you all had the chance to look at the financial statements and the earnings presentations which are uploaded on the exchanges and our website. I would like to give you an overview of our current state of business and the strategic outlook for the quarters ahead. Finotex is a leading specialty performance chemical producer with a market-leading position in textile, international textile industry, and we are a technical solution provider as well. We are focusing on increasing the company's current cap market share. We are at the front line of environment-friendly practices, and sustainability is at the heart of our business. We continue to strive for efficiency in operations and maintenance through the adoption of best practices. We believe that adhering to the high standards of ESG is critical to our long-term success and is the foundation for delivering commitments to our shareholders. I would like to hand over to Arindam to provide an overview of our operations.
Hi, everybody. Very good morning. Thank you, Aarti. So as you are already aware that Finotex Chemicals Limited is a well-diversified company with its portfolio spread across various products in the chemical industry. Apart from being a specialty chemical manufacturer, we also provide high-end technical solutions to our esteemed customer, and that is a key business model of at this moment. This service will further strengthen up with our leadership position in the industry and also build the customer confidence because in industrial marketing, our key product portfolio play an important role for the customer relationship build-up. So our geographical presence in key international textile hub is a testimony for our repute. We would like to build on this strength and foray into new untapped market also. Ms. Aarti with her team for the export marketing are entering new territory and adding more customers day by day. We will bank on our existing and new relationship in both domestic and foreign markets by leveraging both the company Finotex and Biotex strength products. And during the past two quarters, we have entered into the strategic partnership with HealthGuard Australia for their antimicrobial, anti-mosquito, and antiviral range. Also, we have Eurodyne CTC Belgium for their key products for wool, nylon, and synthetic fiber, and the specialty chemicals which are based on pure R&D. And also our R&D strategic tie-up with Sasmina Institute for the future development of chemistries. This partnership has been harmonized and proven beneficial to all the stakeholders. And we continue to explore such opportunities in future also. And you all aware that our new facility in Ambernath, near New Mumbai, has started its operation in November, just after Diwali. And we have standards of sustainability, and the plan supports our portfolio expansion and capacity utilization also for the future endeavor. Given the following highlights related to the specialty chemical industry, we see a bright future for FCL. And we already encouraging and expecting a rise in demand from end user industries such as food processing, personal care, and home care is driven development of the different segments of Indian specialty chemical market. Similarly, the domestic chemical sector, small and medium enterprises are expected to showcase substantial revenue growth in financial year 22, owing to its improvement in domestic demand and higher realization due to the high prices of chemicals. So the Government of India is considering launching a production-linked incentive PLI scheme in the chemical sector to boost the domestic manufacturing and export. And we are looking for that scheme also, and we continue to strive towards building the company into a global brand from the Indian perspective and making Finotech synonymous with the quality and the sustainability. We cover all kinds of all-round technological service from our great technical team members. And now I will hand over the call to Sanjay to take you through the financial performance of the company. Over to you, Sanjay.
Thank you, Arindam ji. So we are very happy to announce emphatic corporate results for Q3 FY22. It reinforces our firm belief in the future of the industry and in specific Finotech. We have continued the growth trend of Q2 FY22 in the current quarter as well. The outcome is much beyond our expectation and will hearten our stakeholders as well in the future coming quarters and years on. On the fundamentals, our operations and financial performance for the Q3, our operational revenue rose up to 1,051 million, which is up by almost 80% YOY basis. And 2,468 million, up by 72% year-on-year basis in the 9 months financial year 22. Similarly, the EBITDA has a jump of rupees 251 million, which is up by 84% YOY basis in Q3, and rupees 497 million, which is up by 80% on YOY basis in the 9 months financial year 22. The EBITDA margins is at 24%, which has expanded by 53 basis point compared to the Q3 last year, and 20% expanding 83 basis point in the 9 months, financial year 22. The PAT stood at 191 million, which is up by 42% YOY basis. The margin stood at 18% in the Q3 financial year 22, and 399 million, which is up by 22.4% YOY basis. And margin stood at 16% in 9 months, financial year 22. Our prime focus will be to expand our product portfolio and thus increase our wallet share and have a more diversified product range, offering more and more solutions to the textile companies. The resounding performance will set a new benchmark for ourselves and emboldening us to scan new opportunities as well. Besides, we also endeavor to initiate new measures to take internally to optimize various other operation areas. During our run into future, we hope to continue to meet our expectations of the stakeholders. With this, we close the opening remarks and we open the call for an interactive question and answer session. Over to you, Rohanji.
Thank you, Sanjay. Janice, can you please open the floor for Q&A?
Janice,
so can we open the call for a Q&A session?
Yeah, Janice, please.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Satish Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Hello, everyone. Congratulations for the great result. And Sanjay sir, our new website is looking good compared to earlier. And thanks for the change. My question, first question, sir, do we have any revenue target for FY25?
As we have been seeing that in the last Q2, we have 74% growth in the turnover, and in this quarter we have 81% already. So that is the kind of you know, the kind of demand which has come in the textile market, and that's the way we have positioned our product mix. The kind of, you know, the kind of opportunities are very exciting. So we look forward to have similar kinds of growth rates in the coming quarters and years on. So this is what I could, that is what we could express to you right now on this note.
Okay, sir. Any main reason for our recent growth, sir? Is due to China plus one strategy of customers, or some other reasons like Xinjiang ban, recent US ban, Xinjiang?
So there are many multiple factors actually. One is our predominant major business is into textile chemicals, and the textile is definitely having a very good traction due to the China plus one factor in their businesses. As such, the government is also taking a lot of initiatives to grow the textile and garment markets. By and large, in India, most of the textile companies have been doing well and will continue. With this trend is going to continue. And as we are depending on textiles mainly, so our business line is also going to, the customer's demand is going up. And as such, even for the textile chemicals, if we consider the entire world, right now, India is the only alternative to China as such, broadly, or at least for the specialty chemicals where we are into. Apart from that, intrinsically, there has been a lot of modifications and, growth pointers, I can say, due to which we have been having this good quarters, which is number one, our product mix has been quite revamped in the sense we have started focusing more on sustainable solutions. See, as such, Finotex is not only a producer of specialty performance chemicals, but there is a very important part there providing technical solutions. Textiles, in and out, day in, day out, they have a lot of technical problems about whatever, subject it is ongoing. And what they require is right time solutions. So our technical team is almost at the, giving them the best services, and we provide a lot of solutions to them. As such, also, the most important challenge for any textile company today is sustainability, reduction in energy consumption, water consumption, reducing the ETP load, reducing the number of inputs and in their textiles. So broadly, we have been very successful, and we have the right products from biotechs, and that's the way we have been focusing upon in the last almost a year now in the sustainability solutions. This has led to a great change in our product offerings. Also, what we have also started working upon is we have been more focused on the finishing side of the textiles. Now, finishing is the place where textiles have a great value about, and there is a big demand for technical textiles also. In the past, due to this COVID, there has been a big change in the customer preferences. The consumers, when they go and buy a garment, a textile, they are demanding a lot of performance chemicals, technical textiles like antimicrobials, water repellents, dust repellents, perspiration absorbers. So all these products, all these textiles has to be treated. All these effects come only from chemicals, not from the machines or mechanically. So that has also increased our the size of the market as such. So broadly, yes, the product lines have altered. We have focused more on sustainability and providing more solutions. Now with these solutions, there is a lot of, you can say, offered to the customers, and that also helps us to increase our EBITDA margins. So we have been steering our product lines to a different level already, and now we are seeing some, initial successes in the last 2-3 quarters. And I think the time is in future is also going to be a lot more supportive for the companies and the kind of product mix we are having now. I hope this answers to your query.
Yes, sir. Thank you. One more question. So our standalone revenue is 78 crores and PAT is 16 crore approximately. But when we see consolidated, we have 27 crores more than standalone, but only 2 crores PAT compared to standalone. Overall standalone margin is 20%. Consolidated is only 7%, it seems. So any reason for the lesser margin for consolidated?
So how we look at it is, let's say, from the operating EBITDA, the standalone quarter three EBITDA is, let's say, 21.39 crores, whereas the operating EBITDA from the consolidated point of view is 25 crores. It is on the basis of the foreign subsidiary which we have, where the Finotex is holding 72% stake. And that is the reason, because while you are accounting it, we can proportionately calculate and compute only 72% of the profits into the main company. So that is the reason about it.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Rungta from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. First of all, congratulations on a great set of numbers. Sir, just a couple of questions from my side. For the quarter, we have crossed the revenue of 100 crores mark compared to 58 odd crores last year in the same quarter. So what amount do you think is sustainable on a quarterly basis? I mean, if I exclude the targeted acquisition which we are planning, So, on a sustainable basis, what type of revenues we should look at?
Thank you, Mr. Nikhil Rungtaji. Yes, this has been the first quarter where Finotex could achieve the 100 crore plus sales, consolidated levels. And as I already spoke some brief about the kind of direction we are heading towards too, I think this is definitely going to be outpowered in the coming quarters and the coming years. There is no doubts about it. And let's talk about, there has been an increase in our volumes of almost 65% broadly. And that is also in the, and the overlay has gone up by 80%, the turnover, the top line. So broadly speaking, we have increased a lot much of wallet share, a lot much of geographies. And I'm very much optimistic that this is going to not only sustain, we are going to outpower in the coming quarters and coming years. There is no doubt about it. Even the new Ambernath plant, which has just been commissioned and ramping up, we have just initiated action there. And I would like to mention on this note that the expansion and the commissioning of the Ambernath plant has come at such a nice timing, I can say, because we acquired it in 2020. And that was end of 2020, that is the time we had acquired it. And then after, there has been a big traction growth in the textiles. And our major business is into textiles. And that is the best place for, because the textile people are day in, day out, they need technical solutions. And our cost, our product lines, right from pre-treatment to finishing, the 25 different functional chemicals we offer is only 3% cost to the textile company. So as such, every product is costing only 0.15% broadly, which makes our products insignificant from the price point of view for the customer. More important is what kind of benefits they can give us, and the kind of benefits our products are giving them is right from sustainability, reducing water, reducing energy, way on. So broadly, I can say the time of this Ambernath plant is such a important aspect and transition for the company. And this is going to shape the future for the company very much. And yes, coming back to your question, yes, we will be expecting much better growth rates and much better targets and numbers in the coming quarters and coming couple of years.
Okay. So just to continue this question further, in the current capex already incurred, what type of revenue potential can we reach up?
Yes, as such, broadly, as we are into the specialty technical performance chemical production as well as technical solution providing. So broadly, in the historically also, averagely, we have a turnover ratio, asset turnover ratio of around 7 to 8. And the kind of realization prices which are also shaping up, and we are doing all sorts of reactions. We do polymerization, we do esterification, we do sulfonation and other formulations as well. So broadly speaking, we can always expect much better asset turnover, because that should be around 8 times minimum. That's the ballpark number we have. But as and when, let me tell you, the more solutions we provide, the asset turnover ratio will go up more. Because then we are not talking about, and in textiles, let me mention, we are into the products which are highly technical and highly, you know, important and value adding to the customer. So the pricing, the EBITDA margins is something which the customers are not, you know, we are giving a lot of value to them in our product lines. So going forward, yes, minimum 8 times should be the asset turnover from the Ambarnath unit.
Okay, okay. And sir, last question from my side. This quarter, we have also witnessed a significant spike in EBITDA margin to 23.9%. Historically, if you see, we were in the range of, say, 18 to 22 odd percent. So what type of EBITDA margin do you think is sustainable? I mean, do you think we'll move back to 18 to 22 odd percent level, or you think this 23.9% is sustainable?
Well, we are very confident that this is sustainable. That is no doubt about it. And let me also mention to you why that was 18% in the past. See, in textile, what happens, it is it's a very different market. It's a long gestation period. It's not a product or area where we can suddenly get the orders for. It takes a couple of quarters or maybe 4 or 5 quarters sometimes to initiate the businesses as well. So while we were always optimistic and we were always expecting the EBITDA margins to go up, which we have seen in the last quarter and also before that, in spite of the big raw material price highs, we have been able to pass on the price increases to some extent and have a better EBITDA margins, which is, I think, one of the off cases in the specialty chemical sector. I can, and the 18% down was also because that time we have done a lot of seed sowing. Like, we had a lot of expenses, lot of new recruitments, lot of certifications. Our company has spent so much on the certifications, on the plant audits, on the approval of green screen certificate, Beehive certificate, blue sign, eco passport, which we have recently got from the German institute, which is Einstein. So these are the most important documentation and certification, which is like an investment. So all these are as such a revenue expenses, and also that has been debited. Plus, we have, like I said, providing technical solutions require a big team for technical marketing also. So right now, our technical team members have, you know, in the last 2 years, it has gone up by almost 70%. So these are the costs which, due to which the EBITDA margins were showing as 18. And now, once everything is laid, now the businesses are coming up. We are all very definitely sure that this is going to be minimum at this level. This is the broad expectation which, you know, we are looking at from the outlook point of view.
Okay. That's quite useful, sir. Sir, just one question on the CAPEX side. What CAPEX are you expecting, say, in 2023 and 2024, including any expectation?
Mr. Nikhil, actually, when we planned for the CAPEX in 2020, we were expecting that the Ambarnath facility, where we have just almost doubled our capacities, which is almost getting through from the, you know, setting up the unit production as such. And already we have started commercial production from November to some extent. So we were always hoping that it will take up, you know, 2-3 years for us to have the entire production capacity utilized. However, as the last year, we have seen a tremendous growth in the textiles and the kind of demand and the opportunities we are getting from textiles and other areas. We envisage that this capacity will be definitely be, you know, utilized to a optimum level this year itself. So already, in fact, we are already envisaging that, you know, what is the CAPEX? How do we plan it up in the future as well? And already things are ongoing. And we will be having the requirements for CAPEX, and there will be an investment on that lines also. So broadly, we can expect that the Ambarnath capacity should be well utilized to the optimum level in this financial year, definitely, or maybe in this calendar year also. So, from the April month onwards, financial year 23. So we also envisage more CAPEX on that point.
Sure. That's quite useful.
Expectation of asset turnover ratios can be expected always.
See, because, you know, we are also providing technical solutions. This is the most important part. When we are offering textile solutions, the solution itself means the user needs the value. It's not about the pricing or our EBITDA margins, which affects them. It's not a commodity business. This is also very important, which I would like to mention here. When we offer our product, it's not a COA-driven business. It's not a product like acetic acid, racil acetic acid, where all the products of GNFC, Gujarat Narmada or Taiwan or China will be same. When we give our product, it is only the solution what matters to the customer. They just want to make sure that whether the fastness or the value or the finish or whatever aspect of that customer is, it's met or not. That's all. They are not bothered about how much is the purity, how much is the activity or something like that. So broadly in our space, it is like the salt of the food. Generally, the salt is never changed by anyone because it's not price, you know, it's not too price driven. At the same time, nobody would like to change the salt of the food because it can lead to many change on the taste. Similarly, this is just an analogy I'm giving. Similarly, in the textiles, people do not change the chemicals. And as such, we have never lost any customer or an order, you know, from because it's a very high-end sticky market. And the kind of opportunities and the wallet shares and the kind of response we are getting from our customers, we are definitely sure the kind of EBITDA margins will be way forward will be quite interesting enough.
Got it, sir. This is quite useful. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. Now, sir, you did mention this 70% kind of a growth that you feel can continue for next 2 years. So do you think it's a kind of a little optimistic number because currently 70% is we are seeing on a lower base of FY21, but now with 100 crores kind of a revenue run rate, a 70% growth over that.
Mr. Deepak, I would like to also take you to the quarter-on-quarter growth of quarter two versus quarter three, where the revenues have increased by 34%. And also the EBITDA, operating EBITDA has gone up by 70% or 69.5% broadly. So basically, and also this is the time as we all are understanding what all supply disruption has happened in the international market, the shortage of the containers, the shortage of the raw materials, shortage of, you know, not only chemicals, I think broadly it is on almost all the industries. However, we have been able to, you know, have these kinds of EBITDA margins increase even in the quarter two, even in the quarter three. And the kind of in the same situation where we are. So we have, I think our team has done a very decent job and we are quite outstanding from the normal industrial trend of the specialty chemicals where a lot of margins have shrunk due to the cost inputs and things like that. So broadly, what we would like to mention is there are a lot of interesting opportunities which we have just recently got. And, you know, we are just tapping it more and more. I think it should not be a great challenge to keep having this quarter-on-quarter growth. However, you know, this is also, you know, we are all in the COVID world as still now. So if there is anything related to COVID or anything external which can change the pattern of the consumer's demand or something, then it's an external part. But broadly speaking, yes, we have been envisaging this kind of growth even 4 quarters back when we had this lot of technical, you know, investments in manpower, in product line, in certifications. So we always hopeful. And then, you know, the last year also, we could see the textile companies, like most of the textile companies are doing so very well. And so, I mean, not only for India market, for overseas also. So I think as and when we progress ahead, you will be able to, you know, see similar kind of growth lines, I think.
Okay. That's
thank you so much, Deepak.
That's quite heartening to hear that, sir. And in terms of margins also, like because of this new plant and even the better product mix that you have been talking about, so this 24% margin is the bare minimum. So what is the upside potential on that in terms of when you are able to fully utilize your Ambernath plant? So how do you see the upside on this 24% kind of margin?
I would also like to mention while this plant was getting commissioned, there were a lot of cost also levied, which are revenue expenditures. And, you know, because generally it takes a quarter or two to have the right team, the increase in the team members. And while the sales don't start for those, that increased capacity. So as such, it's already on the books. And there we are today after all the investments in technical manpower, in marketing, in product lines, in terms of new production team increase. So I think even, you know, it's and also then I said that we are also having some capex plans going forward. So broadly, as per what we have been expecting, we can expect at least this kind of a level in the EBITDA margins, which we have just seen in the quarter three.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, understood. And what's the depreciation because of this new plan? What is the depreciation that is going to come in P&L?
Well, we are a light asset-based company broadly because we are into providing technical solutions and producing specific performance chemicals as such. The asset turnover ratios are expected at 8 times. So broadly, it should not be too much on the depreciation part. So basically, you can correlate the EBITDA and the PAT, operating PAT margins also accordingly. It should not be too much on that
side. Fantastic. Okay. Yeah. That's it my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Deepak.
All the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind participants to please limit your question to one per participant. You may rejoin the question queue if you have a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Smita from Credent Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations first for the good set of numbers that you have published. One thing I would like to know, sir, is that how much benefit did you get from this China plus one impact, and what if it reverses? Will it have any impact on your books, or is it domestic sales more and exports of less? So can you just break that up for me?
Well, I would like to mention here, we are directly, like we are offering our product lines to the textile companies, and the textile companies are the one which will be benefiting, which are benefiting from China plus one factor. Now, having said that, there is also important to mention the kind of product mix which we have changed, the kind of technical solution products we have been focusing upon. So, and also important, the kind of tie-ups we have with Eurodyne, with HealthGuard, with Australia. And, you know, so these are the product lines which have also shaping up, ramping up very well. So it's not exactly China plus one on which we are, and as such, directly we are not depending on China plus one. See, China is into product lines which are more commodity driven. If you talk about acetic acid, if you talk about, acrylic acid, if you talk about AOS or anything like that. So basically, these are the product lines which China is mainly into. We are into specialized tailor-made performance chemicals. Now, when we talk about performance chemicals and tailor-made, China doesn't like these product lines, and nobody works on China for those solution given businesses. They work on more bulkier things, which are more, more capacity driven or more capex driven businesses. That's the way China generally looks at the things. So as such, even if you notice in the last 10 years of our listing, we have always had a good EBITDA margins and quite a good number of set of numbers overall. So it is not exactly China plus one which is helping us. It's also because the kind of differentiation in the product mix which we have, technical solutions. So broadly, that is what is affecting us.
Okay, great to hear that. Now, I would like to know, sir, as you said that because of this, textile play shaping up, how much did you think or how much can you say that it has impacted your market share, or how much market share have you improved upon that?
Well, yeah, the market share is increasing, and more importantly, the addressable markets are increasing. Like I said in our today's conference, there has been a change in the customers' preferences. Now, when we are going to buy a garment or a cloth, we are always expecting something more toward it. We are expecting antimicrobial. We are expecting water repellent. We are expecting dust repellent. We are expecting, perspiration absorbing moisture management, like they say. So then the trend has changed a lot, and also the wallet share which we are seeking up is also changing quite substantially. So broadly, yes, we have been increasing the market share percentage also, and we are looking forward to increase in the market share, also increase in the market size is also increasing day in, day out. So this has really helped us, the kind of product mix which we are into, and also very much important, what we have been doing. Say, let's say about chemical cost is one part of the story or the cost for the textiles, and there is a utility. Now there is a cost of labor, cost of time, cost of temperature, cost of energy, cost of ETP management. Now what we have been doing, we have converted the cost of utility into the chemical cost for the customer and while saving it. So for example, if the chemical cost for a customer is coming, let's say 2 rupees a kilo for the knit, we have increased the cost maybe 2.5 per kilo for the customer, but they are willing to pay because somewhere down the line, we have replaced another 2 rupees cost of the utility in the way of reducing of the water, reducing of the steam, reducing of the, you know, the ETP loads and, you know, labor cost and reduce, you know, less number of parts. So basically, in spite of we demanding more higher price, the customer is also willing to pay us. We have so many testimonials about that. I mean, of course, we cannot have those discussions now on this call. But this is broadly what I would like to mention to you. We are also replacing the utility cost of the customer and bring translating it into the chemical cost. So that is also important.
Yeah. So just last question from my side. Which raw material impacts you more on your costing part?
Thanks for asking this question. Actually, I would like to mention all the participants about this, that our top 10 product lines are contributing almost 20% of our business broadly. So, and I also, like I mentioned in the earlier part of this conversation, that we are doing we have the entire solutions from pre-treatment, dyeing, printing, finishing, and lot of many different kind of reactions which we are also doing. Similarly, the top 10 raw materials would not be contributing more than 20% or 25% of our, you know, the consumption. So there is no particular raw material which is directly affecting our not particular product which is affecting our, you know, the books overall. So we are quite diversified. In fact, our top 10 customers today are contributing to almost 36% of the business. And so we are quite diversified, you know, on that lines. Even in the product front, in the customer front. And once your products are diversified, of course, your raw materials are also diversified because all the raw mats are, you know, there are different raw materials which we require for different products. So it's quite diversified way we can talk about.
So then we can understand that post your new plant coming up also, the RM cost would remain near around 20 to 25%?
Well, yes. We can expect that as well. What we are doing in the Amarnath facilities, that we have having a more advanced versions in which we can make more optimum capacity utilization. The reaction vessels are bigger, much bigger, and that will also help us to reduce the overall expenses and the, you know, the overall variable expenses also on that. At the same time, the product lines will be the similar and the same ones. See, our capacities are fungible. This is also a very nice point which I could express to the participants. Our capacities are fungible. So all the solutions, whatever we are producing, can be produced in the same set of capacity. Maybe a little bit here and there is required at some time, point of time, but 98% of our capacities are fungible, which makes us much better utilization. And that is also one of the reasons why our asset turnovers are much interesting. And that's the way we are looking at it, even for the Amarnath plant.
Okay. And your revenue from exporting...
Sorry to interrupt, ma'am, but may I please request you to rejoin the queue for your follow-up as we have people waiting for their turn?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants again, please limit your question to one per participant. You may rejoin the question queue if you have a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bank. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on good set of number, and my question more relates to you got around 40% of your sales in export market. So how you provide solution over there? I mean, what is the process of differentiation between just applying a chemical and then you're coming up with some solution for technical textile? If you can extend that.
Yeah, as such, our quarter three export revenue international is almost 43%. And yes, so there is a role played by biotechs also. So Finotex owns 72% in Biotex, which is a European-founded chemical company in Malaysia, which we had acquired in 10 years back after the IPO. In fact, the IPO proceeds 10 years back was used for the acquisition, our first international maiden acquisition of Biotex way back 10 years back. So the 28% is Mr. Noah. He is a German guy. And so he has also a lot of technical expertise and his team. So Biotex also is having major exports in most of the important textile countries internationally. So Finotex export team and Biotex export team, they work in harmony with each other. And let's say for that matter, there is a lot of logistic advantages in in Malaysia. Broadly, most of the textile companies countries are very close by to Malaysia, and which have been also catered by the Biotex team, and also the European front is catered by the Biotex team. Whereas for Finotex and Biotex combined, we have been, if you could also go to our website someday, you can also see the kind of international exhibitions we do. We do not miss any international exhibition, whether it's in Brazil or Spain, whether it's in Pakistan, whether it's in Iran. So our team from India do visit Iran, Pakistan, Spain, Brazil. You name the country, wherever there is an, we had in Africa, Ethiopia also. So we have been working in harmony. There is a lot of technical services which we provide in the sense, of course, we cannot give day in, day out kind of services. But I would like to remind you that, the distributors which we appoint are just not stockists. They have their technical team as well, even in India, even overseas. So we make sure we select distributors who have their technical team members. We educate their technical team members. And then they also day in, day out, educate the textile factories and the textile customers and provide the solutions. Of course, in the last, we have been always visiting, our technical team keeps, always. In fact, Mr. Anidham G is also right now overseas, who is on the line, the CEO. So, there is a lot of action which we keep taking during the, in the course of business. And of course, in the COVID times, the international tech have been quite limited. But yes, we have been traveling internationally and providing the solutions online. Of course, we can always do that. But on site, this is the way in which we are doing it. And this has been very successfully proven. In fact, their customers appreciate a lot that even in the COVID times, our team is always visiting and traveling to, in the third, this current wave, first wave, second wave, every time our team has been trying its best and visiting the international customers for providing solutions and having more technical analysis and discussions.
So you mean to say that the technical solutions are more of a standardized and which you sell it to your customer, or it is more of a company specific or product specific which you develop once the customer requests?
No, it's both. It's both. The reason being, what happens, there are a lot of variables in textile processing. The water is also one of the variables, the kind of machinery, the kind of processes. And when we are dealing with almost all the different, different countries, and every country has their own specific requirements and systems. So broadly, this is not exactly a exact recipe which we can give. Of course, there is something to do that also. But there is always, like I said, wherever we are having our distributors, we make sure that their technical team is well educated and our technical team addresses their requirements and teaches them whatever the aspects and whatever broad lines our product functions do and how to make it more optimum utilization at the customer spot. This is broadly the way this function works.
Okay, just last data point. Are you sharing?
Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants to please limit your question to one per participant only. The next question is from the line of Ravi Sundaram from Sundaram Family Trust. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning and congratulations for excellent set of numbers. I just have one question. So if you see prior to November, we were at a revenue rate of something like, let's say 75 watt crores since Q4 last year. And December, we went up to something like 105 crores. I think we had contribution from the new Ambernath facility since early November. But for Q3, Ambernath facility should have contributed only for roughly 2 months. So Q4 should have much higher contribution, right, from Ambernath facility. That's one. And also, since we said the capacity has doubled, I mean, with the base capacity during our Q2, we used to do a turnover of something like 75 crores. So should we expect, let's say, when you have optimum capacity utilization, our optimal turnover rate should be something like 150 crore per per quarter?
Well, I can start from this point that you are very right in mentioning that the Ambernath plant, the Q4 will be much more, you know, this growth part of it will come from the Ambernath plant for the quarter four. That is for sure. In quarter three, in fact, it's not also 2 months. I can say broadly, because once you are just commissioning, there are a lot of teething issues which happens in the normal course of business in setting up a plant. So broadly, we also have to build up the volume slowly, step by step. So precisely, if I can say, it has not much contributed in the last quarter, but it has, you know, we can say only 5 to 10% might have been contributed, to be more exact on the numbers. And yes, the quarter four would be significantly driven by the Ambernath facilities. It is one of the, you know, world-seeing capacities and the kind of facilities and the kind of technology which we are also using there is quite respectable. Way forward, yes, the last year financial quarter four had 75 odd crores. Way forward, like I said, we are expecting, we have tapped a certain opportunities which is just shaping up and started off. So there are, we can expect that, you know, the kind of growth between quarter two and quarter three, you know, should be also more or less been expecting in the coming time. So we are very hopeful about it.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Yes. I think best wishes.
Thank you so much, Mr. Sundar.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akhil Azari from RoboCapital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. So I just want to know regarding the capacity utilization, what is the current capacity utilization excluding the Ambernath plant?
Excluding the Ambernath plant, we have almost touched 70% utilization. And so broadly, this is what it is right now. However, we are also working on making more utilization, you know, the optimum utilization, because we have started working on certain products which can be, you know, the capacities can be much faster in the SOPs. So right now it is 70% broadly. And the Ambernath plant is just, we have just initiated that. And that is almost double the capacity. I mean, exactly the same capacity what we have today almost. So we have not considered that in this working.
And optimum capacity utilization would be what exactly? Like, you know, if you could give us a number.
So for Ambernath, it will be much higher. The point here is because we are using much better, bigger sizes of vessels. And the product lines which we are working on in Ambernath will be quite repetitive also, which makes us more room to make more usage of the time and make similar products more often to avoid the, you know, the time which is used to change over the product line, because our capacities are fungible. So there is a lot of time which is utilized in you know, modifying or the cleaning processes and making sure there is no impurity of the previous processes. So that's the way. So this is what broadly I can expect, that in Ambernath it will be at least 85% broadly. That is what we are envisaging. And so that's the point.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Mehta from Chirag A. Mehta and Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. First of all, congratulations on a very stellar set of numbers. Most of my questions have been answered. I just wanted to know, one, can you have a revenue mix about, like, see, in the presentation, I have seen there is a revenue mix based on the geographical location. But do we have a revenue mix like a textile, non-textile, and then how much is getting contributed from biotechs or edutech or health guard or something like this? Means I just wanted to know, how do we analyze, like,
See, broadly, actually, you know, there was some disturbances in your background, but anyway, I could get your point. I will answer it like here. So broadly, we are, totally, our core business is offering textile, specialty, performance, chemicals, and solutions. So that contributes to almost 90+% 94% of our businesses right now. And so this is the broad area. Health guard, Euro dye, everything falls under the same picture and under the same basket, textile. So broadly, you can always take us as a specialty chemical performance chemicals producer for the textile. So that is the way you should look at our company, in my opinion.
Anything, but lastly, I just wonder, is there any plans for further acquisition or something like that?
May I please request you to rejoin the queue for your follow-up, sir?
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Bansal from SCL. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Bansal, you are audible.
Hanji, sir, congratulations for your results. So my question is, so with the kind of product line we have, like water repellent, everything, such tremendous products, we are seeing growth only sequentially, not exponentially. Like we are expecting such a product line, you will blow the market with your product. Everyone will be gearing up for SCL products, hamidezo like type. I'm not seeing that type of growth, sir. So what are the reasons?
Ankitji, that is quite a different question. Let me mention it like this. We work with most of the biggest textile corporate customers, and they have a protocol and a systems. Like I said, all our product lines from pre-treatment, dyeing, finishing, printing, all put together contribute only 3% cost to the customer. At the same time, if anything goes wrong in the product mix, the fabric will be almost wasted. If there is some pinholes problem, that there will be holes in the fabric, it has to be thrown away. Similarly, for the silicone stains, if there is some staining on the fabric, it cannot be removed at all mechanically or chemically. So there is very important. So the risk-reward ratio for the textile customer is very low. So that's the reason it's a very high entry-exit barrier business where we have been there. At the same time, the customers are looking for a lot of new product lines like the sustainable solutions, reducing the water, reducing the energy consumption, reducing the time for this thing. So that's our key strengths, and that's what we have been doing. So broadly, it is very nice and very logical for the textile customer to be very confident and sure and go step by step. And that's also one of the reasons why the gestation period is higher. Like I also mentioned in this conversation, in the past 2 years, our EBITDA margins were always 17% to 18%, because that was the time from that time we have started hiring more technical people. We have started getting more product certifications, plant audits, plant costs. So these are all revenue expenditure which we had up. So broadly, that is the time it takes. It's like from the seed to the fruit. So now the time has come to the fruit, and there was a time when we were sowing the seeds, and that investment was seen in the books. And now, right, this is the time where we know the returns are coming. The customers are looking at us and also appreciating the quality. The demands are pouring out. More product lines we have done. We have quite revamped our product lines, the marketing approach, the systems, with the two new partnerships which we have from this Eurodye and HealthGuard. This has also been very interesting and appreciated by the textile customers. So broadly, this is the way I would like to mention. The textiles always like to be very cautious, and here we are. We are right now working with almost all the biggest textile corporate customers, right from Chenab, JCT, Eurodyne, Eurotextile, Mavis Spinning, Deepak Birla, Vincent TC, Saluja, Trident, Weltspun, Indocounts, Himat Sinkas, you name it, Baswada, Raymond's, all the plants. And, you know, so basically, broadly, Reliance or entire automotive finishing, especially for the Maruti and the other orders which they get for their car upholstery, are treated with biotech specialty technical textiles. For the seat covers, for water repellents, for oil repellents, for providing more antimicrobial finishes and way on, and also the silicone finishes. So broadly, what happens, we are present in almost all the substrates. And all the substrates, what I mean by that, kuch yarn customers hai, kuch polyester viscose hai, cotton knits hai, cotton fabrics wale hai. We are having the customers we are having the best premium quality customers for each set of the substrate. This is very important. Because in our business, when we go to, suppose, a market called Bhilwara, which is the suiting market of India, So if you talk to Bilwara and they are making all polyester viscose and polyester wool, if you talk to them, we are supplying to Welspun, they don't care about it because Welspun is into towels and sheetings. So they always like to benchmark whether we are supplying to Remens, whether we are supplying to Grasim, whether we are supplying to, you know, the Remens plants and various things. So now we are having the best because in textile, it's quite a herd mentality. The herd mentality is also because of making sure that, you know, it's there's no risk of changeover. Like I said, the risk-reward ratio for changeover is not too feasible for the customer to do that. And also, the cost saving is lesser. And so, by and large, what I mean to say, we have right now all the customers of every segment. And this is very important for us because once you have the best customers for all the segments, it becomes very easy to approach a customer and to give them the confidence that in your substrate, we have this top premium customer using our products. Let's say for Himat Sinha, they are using our finishing for their entire sheetings. Indocounts is using Finotex chemicals over the period of years, not only for finishing, but also printing and various other additives which they require. So broadly, we are into, we have reached a position, yeah, in fact, now, there we are, you know, one of the most important chosen suppliers for these big giant companies. So this is the kind of business, the textile psychology is in this way. This is the kind of markets where we are. So once again, this is what I could mention to you in short that, you know, this is, it's a very important for the customer to be cautious and use the chemicals. It's not a commodity. Yeah. So okay, it's like that.
I understand.
Yeah. Thank you
sir,
so much.
Next question, sir. Sir, one more question.
Sir, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I would request you to please rejoin the queue, sir, for your follow-up.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Utkarsh Somya, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just had two questions. One being the current capacity of 79,000. Can you please tell me how much it would cost you to put up a plant of a similar size? Basically, I'm trying to understand your replacement value.
Well, I will... So let me tell you it in a different way. For what kind of business we are into, it's not too high a capex-driven business because we are into providing technical solutions and providing specialty performance chemicals. For this Ambernath plant, we envisaged almost an investment of 270 million. And that was way back in 2020. And in the last year, there has been quite upside on the cost, input, steel, iron, cement, whatever, all the inputs which are required. And there we have been, you know, expecting to produce 36,000 tons as such. So broadly, this is the thing. But that 27 crores is also, to 270 million is also, you know, it has to be more touched up because of the cost increase and things like that. So broadly, this is the point. So this business is not exactly a capacity driven, you know, it's not a capex driven business. It's a light asset businesses. Also, very important is the kind of approach and the kind of customer profile we have. That's very important in our business.
Okay. So, when you say 8x asset turn, what base should I take of your asset to kind of understand what kind of revenues the company can do at full capacity?
See, at the same time, with the 8x benchmark number which you were talking about, which we also spoke about, there is a quite a big change happening in the price realization also. We have also started offering consumer solutions in a way where instead of using, let's say, 2 kilos, we are giving them a more concentrated version and which gives them the effect for 1 kilo itself. You know, so basically, the average realization price per product is also increasing up. So this is the most conservative number, which we just mentioned about the 8x. Going forward, I think it will be surely into double digits.
So what is your minimum, like you at 8x, what is the peak revenue you can do? Anything more than that is okay, but at 8x asset turn, what is your peak revenue you can do?
See, from this Ambernath plant, we are very sure we can easily, and the kind of product lines which we are working on and the kind of, you know, the kind of product mix we are talking about, the solutions, what we are doing about. We are very much confident that we can also touch 350 crores turnover in this plant itself, which is quite easily achievable. There is no doubt about it.
And this will be in FY23 itself, right?
Well, what happens in our businesses, it's, yes, as and when we are increasing the customers, the wallet shares, the capacities are being used, and that's the way we can always do it even So that you can expect in this coming years.
Okay, and excluding Ambernath,
sir, I'm so sorry to interrupt. May I please request you to rejoin the queue, sir?
Is this a continuation? It'll take 1 second. Just please. Excluding Ambernath, your capacity utilization is 70%, right, in Q3?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That's very helpful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, given what you've said over the course of the call, I think achieving a turnover of, say, 600 crores or FY23 should be possible. I mean, if we do a 50-60% utilization of the Ambernath facility, do you think we can hit that figure for March 23?
So, as such, we generally refrain from giving too much forward-looking statements But looking at the previous trends, I think it's a maths thing which we can always, it's not difficult to achieve. So,
okay. And at peak capacity, if I just, I mean, I just did some math. This quarter, we are at an annualized capacity utilization of about 28,000 tons. And if we assume on the whole capacity of 72,000 tons, and if we hit a 70% utilization, at peak capacity, I'm guessing we can do a turnover of, say, $100 million over the next 2-3 years. I mean, I'm talking about when the entire facility is ramped up, the new facility. What is the peak revenue that you think which we can achieve with the current capacity that we have? And that will take 2-3 years. I'm not talking about FY23.
Well, looking at the way we have been progressing, the average realization price also going up, a lot of more concentrated products which we are also offering, in which with that capacity we can do more higher turnovers. I think broadly we should be easily, there is no doubt we should be almost 3x. We can target that as the highest, if we talk about the highest peak utilization.
Mm. So about $100 million. So, say 750 crores should be possible once we are utilizing the entire facility.
Oh, yeah. If we go to, if it's these pointers which we just mentioned and I just touched upon, if we keep going in the way and the direction and the kind of customers welcoming on those aspects are intact, I think that could be considered as the peak utilization thing.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Satish Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So, technical solution, is it one-time solution to any customer or we work continuously with your customer, sir? Like, so we get repeatable order revenue from the technical solution?
Yeah, as such, all the businesses, what we are doing, it's all repeatable way. It is like, let's say, Raymond, we started working in 2007 or 8, and those products we started that time is still ongoing today also. So basically what happens in, not only in technical solutions, but also all the product lines which we generally offer, it's a very perennial business, sustainable businesses which we get. And it's a continuous business. It's not one-time business. And in fact, textile is broadly day in, day out. They have a lot of queries and technical problems. Either water, they have to match the shade because every time their substrates are changing, the counts of their yarns are changing. So there are a lot many different kinds of oils and the sizing which is coming from different kind of suppliers. So broadly, if you talk and consider, every time they will, and in fact, they will be more glued to us, not only for that product, but also for the other product range also. See, it's also important for us to mention, see, this is a very beautiful area where we are. What I mean by that is, supposing we are supplying, let's say every customer is a customer for 25 different product lines. If you are supplying them 2 or 3 product lines today, and while we are servicing or meeting them for the existing businesses, we are in fact introducing another 3-4 products more. So while we are, while we are doing customer sales services, in fact, we are putting the seeds for the new businesses and the new product lines also. And we look at the customer from a different perspective, that the total size of the customer, and every customer is a customer for 25 different product lines for us. So that is the way, that is the concept and the kind of approach we have with our customers. And we are very much excited and enthusiastic with the kind of response which we are getting from the customers. Going forward, our sincere team, passionate team, which we are all aggressively working ahead. I think, and recently, one more aspect before we finish off this conference would I like to mention about. So the NRC, the Nomination and Remuneration Committee, has approved the ESOP scheme for the first time. So we have ESOP approval already, and almost 92 employees have been being granted for the ESOP, which has also been already updated to the stock exchanges. So this is the first time we are going ahead, taking our team also in the journey of growth and progress for one and all. So before we conclude, I wanted to mention this part also.
Okay, sir. Good to know. Only one more question.
Kumar, I'm so sorry to interrupt. I would please request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Sanjeti from Mania Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Sanjeti.
Yes. Hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on great set of numbers. Also, a special mention about what you said before, that now is the time of bearing fruits. I hope the fruits are also for the shareholders. Apart from that, just had one question. I mean, most of the participants, I think I had the question about your margins. Just wanted to know, what are the one-time expenses which has been during this quarter, which will not be repeated? As you mentioned, I think about the certificate charges and also that some of the expenses of the new plant coming into this quarter. Can you just give maybe a percentage or maybe actual numbers also if you have?
No, I would like to mention to you, firstly, coming to the margins topic, and then we refer to the first comment which you have. So regarding the margins and the cost, let me tell you, this is an ongoing process. And let's say we spent X amount to get, let's say, 100 products approved or 50 products approved. Then again, we will have to spend next year, it's annual renewal things. And also, like the way we are increasing our product mix, now we have this R&D tie-up with Sashmira Institute also, which is also a part of the expenses. Or I would not call these things as expenses. Also, for accounting purposes, it's expenses. However, this is the biggest investment we are doing and we have been looking forward for. So basically, also for the CapEx investments, I mean, as such, many revenue and many expenses are classified under revenue from the accounting standards. Coming to that, again, it can recur. So basically, this is not just one time of things. However, what difference it will be, I'll tell you. The difference here would be the expenses which we have done and the fruits which we have got now. The fruits is itself is quite, interesting enough to have some more expenses for these kinds of investments for the next set of round, for recurring expenses, for capexes, expenses which we are already envisaging for the, you know, the capex which we are going to also plan for now, and also for the kind of product certifications and the factory audits. So this is a part of the thing. So there is nothing as such critical which I can say, this was there last year, this will not happen this year. So investments, these are all treated as investments from our point of view. And coming to, you mentioned about, the investors, fruits and things like that. So let me tell you, in the last 10 years of our being listed, there have been a couple of buybacks also in which the promoters have not contributed and not participated. And also the NAV for the investor from our IPO days till today has almost been 20x. In the last 10 years, we have grown almost at a pace of CAGR, 10-year CAGR of 24%. And we are still debt neutral. This is also very much important that today also, in spite of this 80% growth and the kind of EBITDA margins and the new CapEx also, we are debt neutral. This is, I think, the most important part which has been missed out as well in our today's communication. So way forward, we are all quite sincerely working ahead to achieve whatever we have been looking forward for.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush Agarwal from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Good morning and congratulations on a very good set of performance. So if you look at our standalone numbers, we were around 130 crores in FY21, and given our current run rate, we would end up somewhere around 250 crores for the whole year FY22. So that's almost doubling of revenue. And with the Ambernath facility, you are mentioning that we can do additional 200 crores of revenue. So the first question on this is that, you know, where is this additional demand coming from? Or like the 200 crore that we envisage to do in FY23 from Ambernath, like who would be filling that capacity? Like who would be supplying to our current customers? Are we replacing someone? Are we, you know, getting more demand? So what is really happening on the ground that we see such huge growth in the last 2 years? That is one. And another bookkeeping question is that, you know, how are we doing on the receivables front?
Let me tell you how the industry is moving ahead. There are many factors. There is not a single factor which can be the only reason for the growth.
Right.
We have to look at it in a totality. So everything, right, whatever we have discussed, let's say the textile companies are benefiting from China plus one. Yes, definitely. So their consumption is going up, number one. Number two, are we replacing people to some extent? Yes, we are replacing the European multinational companies. If you can also see in the last quarter two, quarter three, there has been so many force majors from most of the chemical, specialty chemical worldwide, like say from Momente, from Dow to Acromas, and you know, the names, you know, these are the biggest giants, and they had a force major. What it means, basically, they were not well planned, and not so about the planning. It's about you have your own plan of your supply chain, the costing, and the way you pass on the increase of the cost to the customers. That's the way the business is run typically. So basically, we have not only outperformed them for sure by far, but also we have increased our wallet share. That is one. Also, our product mix have changed. There is a lot of sustainable demands which has gone dramatically up in the textile markets. And also, as I said, most of the utility costs we are converting into the chemical cost also. So the retail market is also growing up. At the same time, our technical team and technical solution providing, this is the key area where we have, you know, captured upon. See, it's more about a product which is irreplaceable. So that is the place where we are looking at. And that's the position we already have been getting in the last two quarters. And also way forward, this will be our key area to hold strong position in the market on that front. And coming to your bookkeeping, you mentioned about the receivables. So broadly, if you're talking about March 21 or September 21, what was happening is, you know, in textiles broadly, the receivables are generally averaged out 90 days. That is the way it works. It also, because, you know, sometimes we also have a lot of stockists and we have to keep our goods with our different areas in India. Like, you know, there are so many different textile cities and textiles are quite laid back in that, you know, it's in that way it works. So broadly, if we analyze our quarter three turnover and we see the debtors as of December, so we have done a better way. In fact, our receivable number of days has gone down to almost 75 or 70 broadly. So this is what we can, expect that in future, we are working on more and more cash flows and making sure that the return on the investments are going higher than before.
That's really good to know, sir. Thank you so much for your answer and best of luck.
Okay.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my question again. My question again come back to, is there new products which or new solutions which you had introduced in last 6 months which are contributing heavily to your revenue?
Well, I can say it's not only in the last 6 months which have been introduced. There was a lot of attempts and efforts being done in the last couple of years. And also, you know, sustainability was the key area for biotechs and technical textiles for so long. However, the textile market got more aware about the sustainability just during 2020 and 21 especially. So by and large, we were, let's say, the early movers in that. Till now, the European multinationals do not have those kinds of product lines also, in which, we are helping them to save the energies and things like that. So broadly, yes, there has been a lot of change in the product mix in the last three quarters, actually. And that has helped definitely to gain more market attention. At the same time, the kind of wallet share we have been taking, the kind of results we have been giving and performance on the kind of the value additions, that is also well appreciated. So I think that's, it's also again not a single factor, I can say. It's a compounded efforts and compounded reasons for getting and achieving where we are today.
Yeah. Only thing what I was trying to get is like before COVID, you were in the standalone, you were doing around quarterly cash flow revenue and all.
So can you repeat? There was some background noise actually.
Yeah. Just a second. Before COVID, you were doing revenue of around 30 crores plus minus per quarter in a standalone level. And in recent past, you are seeing some extraordinary growth. So I was just trying to correlate the growth with what has happened differently.
Yeah, so these are the answers which are, these are the factors which are the reasons which has, we see this kind of growth. And way forward, I think that should be, much... That would be the conservative labels where we are today. So this is the way it's going ahead.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jain.
The next question is from the line of Yash Mehta from Sam. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. One question that I have is in terms of our competition, who would be our top three competitors in general in, let's say, the Indian markets and exports? Because you said that you're gaining share. So who is it that you're displacing? And the number two question is that if we have grown 34% quarter on quarter, the volume growth that I tried to work out is coming to somewhere around 16 to 18%. So will the remaining, let's say, half be contributed by price largely and mix? That's it from my side. Thank you.
I'll take the second question first. Yes, what you mentioned correctly, there has been average price realization is going up. That is one. But that is not only the price which we have increased or something like that. It is because the kind of product mix has changed quite a lot. And also, like I mentioned, that we have started giving more purer products. See, there was a big jump in the freight prices, as we all understand. $800, $1,000 containers suddenly became 13,000 from any part of the world to US or other areas. So then we also started offering more concentrated product in which, in less doses, that can give the same kind of performance. So that was the reason why this, it was a mixed reason, that product mix as well as price increase to some extent. Now again, the price increase which we have passed on, it also shows that the kind of value we are providing to the customer is much important for them. And that is the reason they are providing us that kind of a price increase also. And now coming to your competitor topic, see, basically, we are majorly into, in the European areas, European competitors and co-producers, which are, let's say, Huntsman, Akroma, CHT, Rudolph. In the domestic sector, there are a couple of names which are directly there. One is Pidilite is there in some areas. Atul is there in one area. Rosari is there, which is almost 90% same product line where we are today. And so also there is Razel and other companies. Also, as such, Rudolph also has a tie-up with Atul in India. So broadly, these are the company names, and we are well-positioned against them. And so basically, we are also getting a lot of market share from that these European companies as well.
And that's because we are not adding capacity effectively. So you're taking the incremental share away from them from a very...
No, see, again, I would like to mention, there is no single factor which has led to it. See, it's a combination of product mix. It's a combination of increase of the customer's capacity. It's a combination of getting the wallet share also. It's also a combination of the customer preferences which has changed. And a lot of new finishes have started evolving in the market. Like perspiration, wicking, moisture management, dust repellent, antimicrobial. Now, when we go to buy a T-shirt or something in the mall, we are first looking at the kind of technical performance of it. It's not only the feel or the texture. It's also quite value addition, what all. And these things cannot be treated mechanically. All are chemically treated. So that leaves us quite a big room. And we have been always looking at these areas. We have been early movers in this business. And that is the kind of... I can say that is also what we have capitalized upon.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to paucity of time, we take this as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rohan Gupta for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Janice. Thanks to the team of Phenotech. Sir, before we just wind up, a couple of questions are from my side. I know it has already extended a lot of time. First is on our sir, do we have any strategy in place on our non-textile chemical business? We have tried to get into hygiene-related product baskets and some other oil refinery products. So do we have any strategy in place, like, you know, that over the next 2 to 3 years, that what kind of product basket or revenues from these non-textile business we are looking at on overall revenues?
Basically, for so many decades, we have been, our core business is supplying specialty chemicals to the textile companies. That's our main area, and that still contributes to the major area. Now, there is certain kind of polymers, which is also classified in the cleaning and detergent raw materials. So detergent raw materials and polymers is something which is very interesting also for us. And those, there are two areas in that. One is talking, actually there are three, but I'll talk about the two areas. One is supplying raw materials to a detergent company, that is one. And secondly, is supplying and making product lines for, you know, for the institution. Institution cleaning is something which Diversey is into mainly. And so we also have that as a small segment in which we are also having our set of corporate customers or hotels and hospitalities, where we are also producing small packing of 5 liters packing, and for which our plants are already FDA certified. And those are the product lines which we are offering to the various institutes and corporations and areas. So by and large, we have our R&D people from Diversey and the marketing team from Diversey also for those product lines. And that is also just, you know, that small packing thing is not our main core area. So it having its own, it's a bit of marginable product also. It's giving good margins as such. But it's a very total different area in marketing. We are more into the B2B. So we are more optimistic and bullish about the B2B business, especially the raw materials for detergent companies, which is like polymers, water, you know, water, improving the water quality for the detergent companies and supplying them certain important additives, cleaning and hygiene products to the detergent companies where who make their own detergents. So these are certain areas which we are already working upon aggressively, and we are looking at good amount of expectation from that area also. For oil and gas specialty, it is not important as such for us right now. And oil and gas, we do have, see, these are all fungible product lines. And also keep in mind, this chemistry, let's say polymer, the same polymer goes in textiles, the same polymer goes in detergent, the same polymer will go in the oil gas also. So basically, we are not experimenting in a way of going to oil and gas just for the sake of it. We are looking at it in a different way. Either we add more product lines and we give our platform, like HealthGuard Eurodye has come to us. We give them a platform, and our platform cost is fixed, in which when we add their product lines to our textile factories and customers, they are more happier because they get a single-stop solution. This is very important. We are like a single-stop solution for the textile customers. If they need antimicrobial finishes, we have HealthGuard. If they need the super natural wool specialized chemicals, because Eurodye, let me tell you, the Eurodye plant is a Unilever plant in Belgium. Also, they just acquired 2 years back the business of Stephenson UK, which is one of the leader once upon a time in the wool working chemical specialties. So basically, immediately, hamare paas wo products bhi aa jate hain hamare platform mein, and with the same kind of cost, the same kind of technical manpower, technical providing. So basically, it becomes like almost a single-stop departmental store and solution where you have everything, and the customers just call you and tell you, "Arey yaar, please help me with this also, please help me with that also." So we love to either focus on the customer point of view, agar kuch product line goes to the textiles, we wish to add it, or in case these products which we are already producing for the textiles from the chemistry point of view, if this can be used for detergents, for oil and gas, well, it's doable, it's easy, there is no incremental cost for that business, and hence this is very attractive for us to expand and diversify the same chemistries for different product lines. So these are the two approaches we have, either the customer approach or the product chemistry approach, which can go in different businesses. So Rohanji, this was the important question which you asked, and I could express it in this way.
Sir, thanks. Sir, second question is on our margin, and we see that the raw material cost has gone up significantly across the chemicals, and especially some of the inputs are even seeing shortage also coming, which are coming from China. But despite that challenging environment and even the rising logistics cost, you have improved the margins. So just wanted to understand that, did we have a sufficient raw material inventory of the low cost that has helped this margin, or are we seeing the rising raw material prices and input costs, and how you are managing the challenge going forward?
I'll tell you where we are. We are buying the commodity raw materials and producing specialty chemicals. Okay. Now, the rise in the pricing was a phenomenon of quarter two, in which most of the chemical, specialty chemicals might have plunged in the EBITDA margins and the gross margins. However, we could increase our sales by 65% broadly and still increase our EBITDA by 183 basis point and the gross margins by 127 basis point in the quarter two. Now, the quarter three is already softened down to that extent. Number one, to be more precise, we didn't have too much of a raw material inventory from that point of answering that low cost method, and that's why we could do it. It's not working like that. Number two, we, in spite of the jump in the pricing which happened in quarter two, not only because of chemicals, because of the price of the freight containers, shortages, blah, 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 everything, we could still do the good growth. Quarter three was having a follower of the quarter two, actually, I could say. And also, we have done a good increase of 600 basis point almost in the operating EBITDA margins. So, going forward, we have already digested those increments, and this is where we are after digesting all the kind of positioning it as such. And now, also let me tell you, when the raw material prices, commodity prices or chemical prices of China or wherever it is, when they subsidely go down, it doesn't reduces our margins. It helps us, in fact. Because what happens in textiles, it's not a daily contract or daily we have to quote the prices. Price is almost fixed until and unless we come up with an increase. So that is the way it works. It's not that if the raw material price niche gets, then we also have to sit and revise the prices. It doesn't work like that. So generally what happens whenever there is a tide like this, so whenever there is an increase, we do come up with the customers for newer products or better purity products or increase of the price, and we try to adjust our EBITDA margins there. And when it falls down, the cost of the products, automatically the EBITDA margins become more, interesting for us. So this is the kind of, we always look at it.
That's helpful, sir. So thank you very much, sir, to entire Phenotic team for giving us a valuable time. Sir, before we close the call, would you like to make any closing remarks?
No, thank you so much, participants, for hearing us for almost an hour and a half. And so please get in touch with our investor relation team or our investor relations company and this way. So we will be open to answer all your queries, and we'll try to provide maximum information, whatever we could, for your relevant questions, which have been left out in today's conference call. So thank you. On that note, over to you, Rohan and Janice.
Thank you, Sanjay. So on behalf of Edelweiss, I also thank all the participants who have logged in for the conference call of Phenotex. And once again, a special thanks to the management and entire team. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Edelweiss Financial, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.